Good morning. I was fearful that I would have a allergy attack or a coughing spell in the middle of this, so I'm trying to keep my remarks short today. I was on a conference call the other day, and in the middle of it, I just lost my voice and couldn't talk anymore, so we're going to be hopeful that doesn't happen. How many of you got to see the royal wedding on Saturday? By show of hands, and guys, if you don't want to raise it, that's okay. All right. Can anyone tell me, there was a long sermon delivered at that wedding. Can anyone tell me what the theme of that sermon was? Love. I think he used the word love. I think after 50 times I quit counting. But it was about love, and he passionately was talking about love. So for those of you guys, possibly, that didn't get to see it, that's what it was about. He said everything possible that you could say about love. Well, unfortunately, I had decided the week prior to talk about love. And so even though I was thinking, I think he said it all, he didn't use the story I'm going to use, and I don't think he said a few things that I said. So we're going to talk about that. Before we get into this story, I thought it'd be good for us to sing the song that we sing up front. And so I'm going to need some help leading it, but it's the guys and the girls is kind of around. So the guys ask a question, the girls answer, and then the girls ask a question, and the guys answer. So we'll start with the guys who ask, oh, girls do love Jesus. So if you'll help me, all guys, we're going to sing together, and all girls will sing together. So, oh, girls, do you love Jesus? Are you sure you love Jesus?
Yes, we're sure we love Jesus.
Tell us why you love Jesus.
This is why we love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. That's the reason we all ought to love him. Because he first loved me. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Okay, girls, go ahead. Yes, we love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
Yes, we're sure we love Jesus. This is why we love Jesus, because he first loved me. That's the reason we all ought to love him, because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Us because he first loved me. I love that song. I like that round. And I hope that as you've sang that over the years with the kids, you've thought about it. And if nothing else today, I hope you really, truly consider that. I'll be in Mark chapter 14. Thank you, Travis, for reading. But this very, very short story in Mark chapter 14 is what I want to discuss. I think that there are some hallmarks of this story that we want to make sure we understand and make sure that we carry with us. You know, Mark opens the chapter there talking about those who dislike Christ, talking about those who are seeking to trick him, those who ultimately wanted to kill him. And he makes this transition quickly in all of a verse or two to talking about one who truly loved him. And I want to today talk about this person who truly loves him. And I want to ask you the question that we just sang. And that is, do you love Jesus? I mean, do you truly love Jesus? And if you love him, how much do you love him? Maybe I take the question a step further. Do you love him as much as you should or as much as you could? Those are the questions that I want you thinking about throughout this lesson. How do we measure love? You know, we're notorious for liking to measure things. How do you measure love? It's more than just an emotion. It's more than something we just feel. But love has to be demonstrated. And that's the neat part of this story, is that we're going to see that love was demonstrated. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Love for us is demonstrated in that way. Here we find deep love by a follower. She loves him so deeply and she demonstrates her love for him. She sets the bar so high with her love that he says at the very end of this passage, wherever this gospel is preached, I want this story told. Think about that. And I'm putting this in my words. I want people to see what love looks like. So make sure you tell this story. So let's look at the hallmarks. I have four, what I'm going to call hallmarks, of deep love for Christ that I think we should just get. A deep love for Christ worships him. That's number one. Mark chapter 14 and verse 3 says, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Here they're having a meal. She takes this alabaster flask, she breaks it, and she pours it all over his head. Well, we don't know who the she is here until we go to John chapter 12, verse 3. And it says, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. So we're talking about Mary here. And it tells us that she anoints the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of that oil. You know, I was thinking about this story, and I'm thinking about just sitting here around the table, thinking about they're gathered around for dinner, and out breaks, and here's Mary who brings this alabaster flask around. I was thinking, was this a hand-me-down? Did her mother give it to her? Did she inherit it somewhere? Was it something special? Was it worth a lot? I don't know. We don't know. But we know that, did she take the top off gently and just pour a couple drips? No. She broke it. She busted it. It's no longer any good. She breaks it and she pours it over his head. And in that time, and we've all read about it, but they're dusty, they're dirty. They come in, they've been walking with sandals out in the dirt. Their feet are dirty. And so they would wash their feet. Do you think they smelled real good? Probably not. They didn't bathe like we did. They didn't take their deodorant and put it on. Just didn't have it. So this was one really nice way of just taking care of your guests. We'll put a little drops on their head. We'll wash their feet. We'll try to make them smell a little better, feel a little better. And what does she do? A pound of this spikenard. A pound. I don't know what a pound of liquid looks like, but a gallon is what, 8 pounds? Okay, so pretty sizable amount. She breaks this and she pours it all over him. Well, we know that the oil was precious and rare. I don't know about this alabaster flask, but she wanted to show that I love you. And then I'm thankful. I'm thankful you raised Lazarus. I'm thankful for the love that you have for me. Her deep love was demonstrated via worshiping him, if you'll call it that. Number two hallmark, deep love for Christ is extravagant. It's extravagant. Mark 14, verses 3 through 5, and I'll read 4 and 5. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Well, if we do any homework, we realize that this spikenard, this pure spikenard oil, was costly. is worth a lot. It says it could have been sold for more than 300 denarii. Well, there's some debate on what a denarii is worth, but it looks like it's a day's wages. And so we're talking about a year, possibly wages here, 300 denarii. So she basically just wastes potentially a year's salary, if you will, on dumping this oil on Jesus. That's crazy. Why didn't she just do what they normally did, a drop or two, or just wash his feet and just maybe give him a little fragrance? We didn't need a pound. So they criticize her. This is ridiculous. I'm putting in Clayton's words here. You're spending an amount of money that is ridiculous. We know that when Jesus was going to feed people, they were going to take 200 denarii to feed 5,000 people. Well, think about it. If that's what you were going to take to feed 5,000 people, and that was just 200 denarii, we had 300 denarii worth of just oil, and you just blew it. It's ridiculous. You could have fed thousands of people. You know, Mary wasn't thinking in terms of waste here. That wasn't in her mind. She wasn't thinking in terms of, oh, I just broke my alabaster flask. She was thinking about showing her love for him. She was thinking about taking a valuable possession and showing him, this is how much I care about you. She was showing her love through demonstration in an extravagant way. And most people don't understand that. They didn't, that right there. They didn't understand that. They ridiculed her and made fun. Deep love, this is number three. Deep love for Christ isn't worried about what others think. Are you concerned about what others think? When you sing songs to him, if your voice is bad like mine and you don't even know notes, do you worry about what others sitting around you might think when you sing? When you're out to eat lunch, maybe you're with coworkers, maybe you're just out by yourself, do you care what others think when you bow your head to pray? I could go on and on with a list. I had a huge list. Cut it down. Do you really care what people think? Do you think Mary cared what those around her thought when she busted this alabaster flask and just doused him with it? She didn't care. She wasn't embarrassed. She didn't let their words influence her or deter her. She did what she was there to do. I didn't mention the fact that when she gets the oil on his feet in John, what does she do with it? She takes her hair and lets it down her hair to scrub his feet. That's got to look ridiculous. Do you think she cared? Didn't care. Why? Because she really loved him. It was like nobody else was in the room. I'm doing what I'm going to do because I love him. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you, how ridiculous it may seem. Are you sometimes too embarrassed to really love him? John 3 and 12, it says, we have Mary letting her hair down, and she's caught up in loving the one who loves her. She doesn't worry about what they think or how crazy that may seem. Mark 14 and 4, why are you doing that? Why are you wasting that ointment? And John 12 and 45, notice who the first one to speak is? Judas. Judas is the first one to speak up and criticize her. What do you think about Judas at this time? What do you think was going on in Judas's mind? Well, we know where his heart was. Yeah, Dwayne does this right here. Money. Why would you sell it for 300 denarii? And I'm going to go ahead and put it in my words. Yeah, let's just give it to the poor is what he says. But what could he probably have been thinking? We could have made a lot of money on this and I might have been able to pocket some. He was the keeper of the money bag, and we have no doubt what his possible intentions were. Maybe he was hopeful we could sell it, and instead of really taking care of the poor, I might get a cut of that. You just wasted it. Mark 14 and 5, they criticize her, or in the ESV, I think it says they scolded her. You know, we could have got a calculator out and calculated, how much was this worth? How much did you just blow? This was a great investment. You had a pound of spikenard, and you just blew it. You know, I fear they pulled a Clayton. I'm kind of a logical person sometimes, and my logical side might have said, couldn't you have just used a drop or two? You didn't need to pour the whole thing of ointment on him. I could see myself thinking, that's kind of wasteful. I could see myself thinking that. She didn't care. She loved him. People don't understand. And people have a tendency to think that maybe their way of worshiping or their way of loving God is the way. And that her way is crazy. She's got it. This looks ridiculous. She's got his hair on his feet. She's pouring oil all over him. This is silly. She loved him. People in the world see us come to church Wednesday night. Twice on Sunday. It's ridiculous. Why? You're going to miss your sports? We got a game Wednesday night. It's ridiculous. We love him. We come to worship him. Number four. Deep love for the Lord is applauded by God. Mark 14 and 9 says, assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what this woman did will also be spoken of as a memorial to her. Jesus wants us to know about this. Jesus wanted others to know about this. Well, but why didn't you just tell people that I walked on the water, or I fed 5,000, or that I raised Lazarus from dead? He doesn't say that. He says, tell this story. Tell this story. There were so many other stories that were could have been way more impactful, but what's he say? No. Tell this story. Whenever you preach the gospel throughout the whole world, tell them about this. Why does he want the whole world to know about this story? I believe because he thinks that personal worship, like she showed, and love that she showed, and personal devotion is important. Ultimately, isn't that what he's always wanted? Isn't that what he wanted in the Old Testament times, in our old law, is people to really love him? Isn't that what he wants today? Is people to respond to him wholeheartedly, to show love to him wholeheartedly, a full outpouring of love? Well, this full outpouring of love was ridiculous to some watching. Not to him. He loved it. Do you ever do anything for Jesus that seems over the top? Jesus didn't think this was over the top. He said, tell others about it. Make sure wherever the gospel is preached, tell them about this story. This morning, we've looked at a beautiful example of what it means to be in love. To close out the lesson, I just want to give us a few more things to think about. I want to remind us what Christ expects from his followers, what he expected from his followers then, and what he expects from his followers today. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 tells us, and we can go back and read this passage, He wanted them to love Him with all of their heart, their soul, their strength, and their mind. What's He want from us today? Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. It's no different. He wants us to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. You say, but well, Clayton, how can I do that? Well, I think it's pretty easy, but I think sometimes we need reminders. How can we grow in our love towards Christ? How do we grow? Because everybody loves Him or you wouldn't be here today. I'm just going to make that statement. You love Him or you wouldn't be here today. But how do we grow in our love? Well, I think it's by letting God move you to grow in that love. Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Does that move you? He had no reason to love us because we were sinners. But guess what? He loved us while we were sinners, even to the point He died for us. Hopefully that will cause you to grow and you'll be reminded of that. That's why we take of this memorial. Every week we should grow in our love because this should remind us and it should draw us closer to Him. I think we grow by asking God to help us grow in our love. In your prayer life, are you asking Him to help you? 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5, "Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the love of patience in Christ." Ask Him to direct your heart to help you love Him more. By praying and growing in love, He answers. Psalms chapter 116, verses 1 and 2. "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live." He listens to me. I pray to Him. He answers me. He walks with me. And so as long as we live, we can call upon Him. We should call upon Him. We would want to call upon Him. And the last idea I had is by keeping the Word of God. 1 John 2 and 5 says, "But whoever keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him." If you want to know if you're in Him, that's a perfect verse. When you keep His word, you keep His commands, then you know that you truly love Him. And when you truly love Him, you do what Mary did. You do things that seem over the top. You come to church at least 3 times a week. You read your Bible daily. You pray to Him. You do these things that the world thinks are ridiculous. Yes, they do. And that's okay. Kids, if you're out there, you're going to love Christ, and there are going to be kids at school that are going to think that you're ridiculous. It's okay. Do you like it when your spouse or someone does something over the top for you? I do. Don't you? When someone shows you love that's over the top, don't you go, "Ooh, that's neat"? Christ did. Evidently, Christ enjoyed this. He loved this over-the-top, extravagant love. Deep love looks like what Mary did for Jesus. Mary didn't feel like she lost a thing. Those around her thought she blew a year's salary for nothing. Ridiculous. Do you love your Savior like Mary did? Do you think that if you can love Jesus like Mary, that it will help you grow closer? Absolutely. If we can love Him like she loved, I guarantee you, you will grow closer to Him. And what does it tell us, the Bible? When we grow close to Him, He will grow close to us. How close is He to you? Do you feel Him? Or is He just close? Hopefully you can feel Him. How close do you want to be to Him? Those are my remarks. My encouragement this morning is that you will love Him more than you do today. Mary has given us a great example of what love looks like and some great reminders on what we can do to love Him more. I'll leave that with you as we stand and sing the number.